The following program is a debate between the Democratic candidates for Montana governor. This debate followed a debate between the Montana Senate candidates and was also moderated by Mr. Mike Wheat. The event was recorded on Friday, February 21st, 2020 at the Emerson Crawford Theater and was sponsored by the Gallatin County Democrats.
So here we go again. So we have two candidates now for governor. I'm going to do the same thing here that I did with the senatorial. I'm going to introduce the candidates. They'll come out, and then we'll start our questions. Because there's only two candidates, each candidate will have a minute and a half to answer questions, and then they'll have two-minute closing. So with that, if we're all ready, I'll start, and I'm going to introduce first Whitney Williams. Whitney is a sixth-generation Montanan and businesswoman who founded her own company working alongside Fortune 500 companies and charities to solve tough questions, just like those Montanans face every day. Now she's running for governor to bring a fresh perspective and bold ideas to Helena to solve the new set of challenges Montanans in every corner of the state are facing. As governor, Whitney will fight for Montana's working families by standing up to the out-of-state special interests and big corporations that want to make Montana their personal playground. She'll provide every child in Montana access to a free and quality education by ensuring that your hard-earned tax dollars don't go toward religious or private schools. She'll hold insurance companies and big pharma accountable for the skyrocketing costs of health care and prescription drugs. And she'll fight back against the threats the Trump administration and Greg Gianforte pose to our public lands and women's health. Whitney comes from a long line of strong women dating back to those who originally homesteaded Montana. She'll bring that same grit and toughness to the governor's office to tackle the new set of challenges facing Montana's families. Please join me in welcoming Whitney Williams. Next, Mike Cooney. Mike is one of Montana's most trusted and effective leaders, having spent his entire career fighting for Montanans. Montanans have elected Mike to statewide office four times, as a state legislator in the House and the Senate, as Secretary of State, and as Governor Bullock's Lieutenant Governor, because they know he can get things done by bringing people together and finding responsible solutions while never compromising on our Montana values. Mike is running for governor to tackle the biggest issues facing Montanans, fighting to make sure Montanans have good-paying jobs, bringing down prescription drug costs, and increasing access to health care, addressing climate change, and standing up to attacks on our public lands, and ensuring our kids have access to the best public education we can offer. These have been the fights of Mike's career. He has a proven record of results, knows how to get the job done, and is ready to hit the ground running as governor one day. Please join me in welcoming Mike Cooney. So before we get started, you should know I didn't write these bios. They came from the candidates themselves, and they did a nice job. And I should also tell you, I feel sort of a connection, even though I've just met Whitney tonight for the first time. I served in the Montana Senate with Mike and with Whitney's mom, Carol Williams. So, and it was a pleasure. Okay. I talked to you earlier about the timing we would have. Hopefully we can get through all these questions. We've got quite a few. We have a little more time since there's only two candidates. But you get a minute and a half, or 90 seconds for you, Mike, since you have a tough time with those decimal points. You have 90 seconds, and we have the timekeepers down here, and they'll flag you at a like that. And then, like I told you, I'm not going to ask for a rebuttal or anything like that. So with that being understood, let's move on, okay? Our first question, and I think we'll start with you, Whitney, is related to child care costs and education. The demands of child care force parents to either pay exorbitant child care costs or not return to the workforce, both of which financially stress families. As governor, what policies would you support to help parents with young children facing this situation?
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you, everybody, for having us. 90 seconds is going to feel like a lifetime, I will say. So first of all, I think the single most important thing we can do in this state is make sure that we get pre-K done. I will say, because you raised my mother, I'm very proud that my mom, when she was leader of the Senate, working alongside Governor Schweitzer, got full-day kindergarten done, and it was not easy, but we got it done. When folks across this state are paying somewhere between $600 and $900 per kid, we've got a friend over in Missoula at the university. He's a professor, she's a writer, they've got good jobs. They got a couple of kids and they set up a college fund, grandparents set up a college fund for the kids when the kids were born. And what happened? When the second kid turned four, the college fund was gone. It's an economic issue for families all across the state. And so the top priority needs to be making sure that every little learner and their parents has a chance to be in full-day pre-K in this state.
Thank you, Whitney. Mike?
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here. And I just want to say, absolutely, here's the problem. We have about 40,000 children in Montana under the age of five with working parents. We have the capacity in Montana for child care of about 20,000. So even finding access to quality child care in Montana is a challenge. We have to address that as well as dealing with the cost of pre-K or cost of child care. And I would also say that pre-K, a quality public school pre-K program, is going to really help this particular issue. And what's going to happen is we found when we had a pre-K program, which we were just modeling throughout the state a couple years ago, we saw what it did in communities and how it allowed parents with kids to be able to go back to work, and it helped the economies of those communities. So we do need a quality pre-K program in our schools, and we need to make sure that people have access to it. That is going to be a key to making sure that we give parents the ability who need to go back to work, the opportunity to go back work to work, and to be able to continue to build the economy in their communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. All right, Whitney, our next question is related to health care coverage. The Affordable Care Act expanded Montana's access to Medicaid, protects those with pre-existing conditions, and eliminated lifetime benefit caps, among many other benefits to Montanans. The Trump administration actively seeks to eliminate the ACA through Congress and the courts. If Trump is successful, which God, we hope he isn't, how would you protect access to health care and those losing coverage in Montana?
Thanks, Mike. He's not going to be successful. We are going to protect the ACA. I think that what we know is that folks like, for those of us who have health care, we want to be able to see our own doctors. And every single family and every single person I see across the state in the last 5 months has said one thing, which is that the cost of prescription drugs is immoral, that it's skyrocketing beyond where folks can deal with it. When Schweitzer was doing those bus trips, you guys remember that, 20 years ago, when he started taking seniors up to Canada and to Mexico? A vial of insulin was $20. Today it's $275. We here in Montana need to stand up for ourselves. Because what we know is the federal government isn't fixing this. I hope they can, and I certainly hope that we can continue ACA, but I do believe that we need to do more in Montana to make sure that we're standing up to pharmaceutical companies for price gouging and do everything we can to make sure that our legislature does what legislatures in Tennessee just did, which is put a price cap. A 30-day supply of insulin is capped at $100, and we should do that in Montana.
Thank you. Mike?
Well, again, I think we all know what the federal government and the federal administration is trying to do, but we also know that the people of this country appreciate the good work that has happened and the fact that we have better health coverage than we've had in a long time. We need to make sure we protect Medicaid. Medicaid is an incredibly important program in the state of Montana. When you talk to Montanans, they tell you that they're worried about access to health care, they're worried about access to affordable health care, and they're very, very concerned about prescription drugs. Medicaid expansion gave about 100,000 people in Montana quality access to health care. It's kept our rural hospitals intact. There was just a report last week that said rural hospitals across this country are closing down, and they're closing down in states that haven't passed Medicaid expansion. We're smart in Montana. We need to make sure we preserve that. We also need to take care of the cost of prescriptions. Shortly after I announced my candidacy for governor, I said that we were going to work with the federal government, and this is a bipartisan plan that they've approved, to make sure that Montanans can start safely and legally importing drugs from Canada, similar to what Governor Schweitzer was proposing. They're now agreeing that we can do that. If we can do that, a $28 bottle of insulin in Canada is what that costs now. Cost people in Montana between $275 and $300. We can start helping Montanans put more cash in their pockets. If we can implement that, we can do it day one when I become governor, and that'll be a priority.
Thank you, Mike. Whitney, the next question is related to health care and women's rights. Family planning clinics such as Bozeman's Bridger Care and Montana's Planned Parenthood open economic doors to Montana women by ensuring women have the resources to plan their families on their own terms. What will you do as governor to protect Montana women's access to quality family planning health care?
Well, we're going to start by defeating Greg Gianforte. This, you guys might have seen, Gianforte signed on to a brief to the Supreme Court asking him to overturn Roe v. Wade. Montana women and men are going to stop him. I was in Billings recently at the Planned Parenthood Clinic, and you know, you go through a bulletproof door, then you get up to a bulletproof screen in front of the extraordinary people there to care for women. And they told me a story about a woman who drove 300-something miles from North Dakota, and she came in, and in her arms was a bag of quarters. She had $300 in quarters, and she put it down on the counter to pay for her abortion. And she did it because she doesn't have access in North Dakota. And I'll be damned if Montana's going to be next.
Thank you, Whitney. Mike?
You know, this is a battle that I have fought since the day I walked into the state legislature for the very first time. And it's a battle that I've taken very seriously. And I have always been a proponent of making sure women have the right to make their own health care decisions. State government has no business. Government has no business in telling women what they should do with their bodies or their medical needs. If I'm elected governor, my veto pen will be very, very busy making sure no legislation becomes law.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, Whitney, we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about energy and coal. Northwest Energy is seeking approval from the PSC to buy a controlling interest in a coal-fired power plant, ensuring that coal continues to be a primary energy source. At the same time, surrounding states, like Idaho and Wyoming, believe it or not, invest in more sustainable energy sources such as wind and solar. What is your plan for the state's future energy demands and supply?
Well, thanks for the question. It's centrally important. Montana's got to move with urgency into a clean energy future, and I'm sorry we haven't done more of it to date. I think we do have a real situation here, which is opportunity, for jobs across the board in wind, which we have an extraordinary amount of, as we all know. And we need to do more to invest in a clean energy future, and certainly in wind and solar. And I will also say, as a lifelong Democrat and someone who comes from Butte, my family for years has mined there, we have to also work closely with our friends and families in Colstrip. And first, we ought to say thank you. They've kept the lights on for years. And then we got to help them transition into a new future. And that future is one of clean energy. I think there's a variety of things the state can and should be doing. And in my administration, we'll work very hard day one to make sure that we bring private partners and government together to do exactly what our neighbors are doing. And it's well past time that Montana does that.
Thank you. Mike?
You know, this is a great question because I have to say that about 10 years ago, my wife and I decided just as a lark to put solar panels on our house because we thought it was the right thing to do. And we thought that if everybody started just making a few steps along that way, we could start making some real changes. Well, we know that it's not happening fast enough. We know, though, however, the market in Montana for the kind of energy that we've been a leader in producing over the history of our state, that market is changing. And we need to transition that market. We need to transition to renewables. We have incredible capacity for wind. We have incredible capacity for solar. We have incredible capacity for geothermal. There are other technologies out there that we can actually be a leader. There's no reason we can't continue to produce great jobs by moving and transitioning our energy future into with renewables. And we need to understand that this transition is tough on some people, especially the people in Colstrip. But we need to work with them by bringing our partners in private sector and in government together to make sure that we are continuing to be a leader in energy development. We can do that in Montana, and we can do it with renewables.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, don't get too comfortable, Mike, because I'm going to switch up the order here.
No,
so you're going to go first this time, okay? And this has to do with our recreational economy and public lands. Montana's outdoor recreational economy provides approximately 71,000 jobs, and generates over $7 billion of consumer spending. An integral part of our recreational economy are our vast public lands. How will you defend and grow this essential part of our state economy and at the same time protect our sacred public lands?
Well, I do think we understand how important our public lands, and you've mentioned several. You took some of my answer away about the 70,000 jobs and the $7 billion in revenue. It's also a driver of our economy, folks. You talk to businesses right here in Bozeman, and you ask them how important this is, and they say, this is one way that we are able to keep our workforce. This is the way that we can attract people to our workforce because they want what we have in Montana. They love the idea that they have the best trails, the best hunting, the best fishing right outside their back door. You darn right that our outdoor recreation economy is important to this state. What are we going to do to protect it? We're going to make sure that those people who think that it's better off that we sell those lands, that they're not successful, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to make sure that our federal, the people who want to transfer federal lands to us, that needs to stop. We need to work closely with our federal partners to make sure that they keep and manage those lands so we have access to those. We need to make sure. Montana has been discovered, and we need to make sure as we develop this industry, we use it, we develop it in a way that is a Montana answer to the way we want it, and we're willing to share it, but we want to make sure we do not lose what we have, and we want to make sure that we pass on a better outdoor recreation economy to the future generation than what we were given. We're going to do that when I'm governor.
Thank you, Mike. Whitney?
Well, let me start again with we're going to defeat Gianforte. you folks in this room here in Gallatin County know better than most when you put up that no trespassing sign and then went on to sue the state, say that we couldn't access a river that's rightly and truly ours. Those aren't Montana values. Those are New Jersey values. And we're not going to stand for that in Montana. We're also going to stand up to the Trump administration with this wholesale effort to sell off private lands. right? The idea is we're going to take these public lands, we're going to give them to private developers, to wealthy out-of-staters who are just going to lock them up. They're going to continue to put up no trespassing signs. And until we all come together to be sure that we continue with the $7 billion in spending and the 70,000 jobs, the largest part of our economy is the conservation economy. And we need to be sure that we do everything we can. And that means standing up to these guys who don't share our values.
Thank you, Whitney. All right, our next question, Mike, has to do with climate change. Through executive order, Governor Bullock established the Montana Climate Solutions Council in an effort to combat the climate crisis. The Bozeman Chronicle reports that the council supports, among other items, community-based renewable energy projects, creating tax breaks for low and zero-emission vehicles, and incentives for making buildings more energy efficient. As governor, what steps would you take regarding the climate crisis? Sure.
Well, first of all, I'm grateful for the work that that council has done, and a lot of those items that they've discussed are going to go out to the public, and I hope we can engage the public because this is an incredibly important thing, topic for the future of the state. I mean, when you talk to especially young people in the state, climate is the number one issue because they know we haven't done a particularly good job. And we're going to end up passing on, if we don't start something now, we're going to pass a problem on to them. They don't deserve that. So I'm very happy with that, and I think we need to continue the efforts. We need to be looking at those recommendations. We need to give feedback, and I think there's some really good recommendations out there. I also will say something I think the state can do, and I'm very excited about, is I think the state of Montana, which we've already done, has agreed to say that we're willing to work towards the Paris Accord agreements and the goals that we set for Montana, and we're working with other states to do that. We need to continue that effort. We know that if the other side is successful at winning this particular office, we know where this issue is going to be. We need to make sure that we don't let them do it. Climate change has to be very focused in this state. It's the right thing to do for the future of this country.
Thank you, Mike. Whitney?
Yeah, so I'll say that I believe fundamentally this issue about moving with urgency into a clean energy future, making sure that we also have good paying jobs for folks to do that, is going to help a great deal. I agree that we need to get our state involved with the Paris Accords, particularly if we don't defeat this president. Montana is going to have to stick up for itself. And I think that that's the direction that we should move in. And ultimately, there are a lot of good jobs in having a clean climate and a clean economy. And I think we should do all of the things that a state can do, including looking at our own business. I'm a businesswoman. I manage my business by looking at efficiencies everywhere I can. This state owns a lot of buildings. This state owns a lot of cars. This state has a big budget, and we should be looking everywhere we can to see whether or not we can conserve more energy ourselves and set some goals that are realistic for us to achieve them in a tight time frame.
Thank you, Whitney. All right, Mike, our next question is related to the infrastructure economy. We hear a lot about the infrastructure needs across the state. Roads and highways are in disrepair. Numerous bridges are structurally unsound. Municipal water and sewer systems, public schools, and other public buildings and facilities need repairs, replacement, and upgrading. Responding to these needs will provide hundreds of good-paying jobs and improve access to Montana's public resources. What will your policy be for responding to our infrastructure needs?
Well, I mean, this has been a battle that we've fought over about the last 10 years where Montana legislature has failed to pass a meaningful infrastructure bill. This year, we broke that logjam, and we actually passed an infrastructure bill, and we were able to get money out into communities. They use this money to improve their water and sewer, their bridges, and their roadways. This is very important. We cannot expect our communities to grow economically if they cannot provide the basic services to the people in their communities and the surrounding areas. It's very important. As you said, it does create good-paying jobs as well. So I will just say this. We've broken the logjam in this last session. I feel good. We will continue to have a very strong and aggressive infrastructure program in every legislature as I'm governor, and we will continue to fight for it and make sure that we are doing everything we can to drive money into communities and to fund projects for the state of Montana that are important. These are investments. This is not funding just going out doing nothing. This is investing in our community. It's investing in our state. That means we're investing in our people. We'll have a very strong infrastructure program.
Thank you, Mike. Whitney?
Well, I think if we're going to attract the kind of jobs that we're going to need to attract in the future, we certainly need to have better infrastructure than we have. You know, Montana just got a C grade. Montana's an A-plus state. Shouldn't be getting a C grade for our infrastructure. I think we're going to have new challenges ahead of us, and we need new ideas to solve some of these problems. We can also involve the private sector in ways that I think maybe we have not. And then, of course, we need to rely on our federal partners. Many of the roads we have in this state are paved with that cash. So we need to have a representative willing to stand up in Washington and say, this is what we need. And also bring unlikely allies, like some of our private sector folks, together to look at what might we do together. But centrally, we've got to make sure that we have an extraordinary infrastructure in this state. It's the future of this state. And certainly we know that when we're talking about attracting some of the types of jobs that we want to attract and businesses we want to attract, like you all have here in Bozeman, we've got to have the infrastructure to do it. 4.5 million people drive on the roads, tourists drive on the roads here in Bozeman. We've got to find ways to make sure that we continue to have the best possible infrastructure and, frankly, that some of these out-of-staters pay their fair share on it.
Thank you, Whitney. All right, the next question, and again, we'll start with you, Mike. This has to do with taxes. Across our great state, homeowners feel the burden of rising property taxes to fund schools, law enforcement, and fire protection, as well as other critical community needs. In growing communities like Bozeman, the Montana legislature refuses to allow voters the choice of a local option sales tax to help alleviate the burden. What will be your policy regarding tax relief, fairness, and reform?
Well, that's a big question for 90 seconds, I got to tell you. But I will say that it is a huge issue. You know, when you talk to people in Montana about taxes and you listen to them, they basically say they want fairness, they want understandability, and they want predictability. We don't pass that test. How can we say we're fair when a woman making a minimum wage salary pays the same tax rate as somebody making $500,000? That is wrong. That is not fair. You specifically mentioned property taxes. Property taxes are tied to the market. We know in other areas, in a lot of areas, that market is growing. And then communities are making investments in their communities. They're building libraries, they're building infrastructure, and they're passing levies. That's going to affect that. So I think we need to look at things. We can look at the homeowner tax credit that we have in Montana. It hasn't been dealt with in a long time. We can look at raising that. We can take a look at whether or not the stipulations in that can be adjusted to include more people. There are things we can do, but state government can try to find other ways to look at those choke points that are hurting communities and see where the state and federal government can step in and help alleviate some of the problems that these communities are facing with property taxes.
Thank you, Mike. Whitney?
Yeah, so let's talk about homeownership. There's a crisis. Folks can't afford, certainly you all here in Bozeman. I live in Missoula. People can't afford houses. Renters are having a tough time. And it's not just us. It's small towns and rural communities as well. We have an affordable housing crisis across the state. And we don't have, in Montana, a state tax credit to help with that. That's one of the tangible things that we absolutely could be doing. And the other thing, back to our wealthy out-of-state friends who come here and use our infrastructure, they're buying up big tracts of land, they're locking it off, and they are not paying their fair share. And it is well past time. We say to them, you are welcome in Montana, But you're going to pay for the roads that you're driving on. You're going to pay for the schools that you're not sending your kids to. And you're going to pay for the main streets you're not shopping at. And there are a variety of ways in which we can increase revenue to do just that.
Thank you, Whitney. Okay, so don't get too comfortable, Whitney. Oh, okay. We're switching up again here. This one is going to be about education funding. In recent years, the Montana legislature has tried and in some cases succeeded in siphoning funds away from our public schools and into private schools. At the same time, rural Montana schools struggle to attract and retain qualified teachers, such as those educated here at Montana State and at other Montana universities. As governor, what will be your school funding policy, and how will you incentivize Montana teachers to educate the children in our smaller communities?
Thank you, Mike. That's a great question. A couple of things. You know, schools or rural communities are closing, or they're going from 5 days a week to four. We have teacher shortage, and we aren't paying teachers enough. We aren't incentivizing enough kids. We aren't incentivizing enough kids to stay in those communities or go to those communities. So I think there's a variety of loan forgiveness programs that we need to look at. I think ultimately, I'm a product of public schools. I started at Smith School in Helena and graduated from the other school, University of Montana in Missoula.
So did I.
Yeah. And I think we've got to make sure, I'm really proud that we've been able to have this tuition cap of the four-year schools, but I also think we need to do a lot more to make sure that we have opportunities and pathways for good-paying jobs through local community colleges and training programs and apprentice programs. You know, it's not the future for every single kid to go to a four-year school. And for kids who want to go to apprenticeship programs or two-year schools, we should celebrate that, and we should help those kids do a lot more of it. We've got great education in this state, and we can make it even better.
Thank you, Whitney. Mike?
Well, two things. First of all, I'm a product of the public school system here in Montana, as my wife and our three children. I'm a very proud father of a school teacher in Helena in the public school system. So I have a great appreciation for what teachers do in this state, and we need to make sure that we continue to make record investment in our public education system. We've found states around the country, about most of them, there's only about 10 who have continued to continually support at a higher level education. Montana is one of them, and we need to make sure that we keep that track record going. We need to make sure that that we keep our college tuitions affordable. If we're not doing that, we're cheating our future workforce in this state. We also need to make sure that we're giving opportunities for apprenticeship programs, dual enrollment for our high school kids who can get college credits. That's going to save them money going into college. We need to make sure that work-based learning is available throughout this state. There are so many ways that we can control or that we can help our students throughout this state. Again, one of the biggest reasons businesses say that one of the biggest problems they say they're having is getting a workforce to do the jobs they need. Our education system is the answer to this. We need to open it up and give all those possibilities so we can make sure we have a workforce second to none and we can compete. Our kids can compete anywhere in the world.
Thank you, Mike. All right, Whitney, this next question has to do with, it's kind of a mixed bag here of taxes, criminal justice, and marijuana.
Put them all together.
In November, Montana voters may be asked by initiative whether to legalize recreational marijuana. If Montana voters approve the legalization of recreational marijuana, where should the tax revenue from those marijuana sales be invested? And would you support automatic expungement of possession of marijuana convictions from criminal records?
Well, we obviously need to take a very serious look at this. Two things. To answer the latter part of the question first, a lot of folks are in jail for nonviolent offenses that shouldn't be in jail. So, and in terms of where that revenue should go, I think we need to really take a close look at some of our neighbor some of our neighbors, Washington, Colorado, others who've done this, and really say, where do we think that that revenue can go? And let's make sure that we have addiction and treatment and mental health fully funded as well.
Thank you. Mike?
Well, I've had a chance to read at least one of the initiatives that's currently out there, and in that particular proposal, it does outline where they believe the revenues should ultimately go. And I tend to agree with the direction that is taking. I do think we need to make sure that the revenue picture is very clear and people understand, and I think they're looking at about a 20% tax. Some may argue that we could even tax it a little bit higher, but the initiative is, I think, currently at 20%. I absolutely agree with expungement. I think that is absolutely something that is important. We are putting a lot of people in prison, and it costs us a lot of money to keep them there. There's no reason they shouldn't be there. We also need to make sure we are dealing with addiction. We're dealing with mental health. We're dealing with drug with the services that people need. You know, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing with Medicaid expansion. Now those people have, for the first time, access to mental health and drug addiction. People are taking advantage of that. We know people are out there. They want to help themselves. We need to make sure we're continuing to fund those kinds of services so that we can make sure our people in Montana are able to take care of those problems. So I think that's the way we need to go with this initiative.
Thank you. Whitney, the next question is related to the healthcare economy. The healthcare industry is one of the fastest growing sectors of the Montana economy and provides some of the highest paying jobs. Elimination of the ACA would surely send shockwaves through this economy. Again, assuming this were to happen, which God forbid it does, how would you protect and defend this important sector of our Montana economy?
So again, Mike, it's a good question, but it's not going to happen. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Look at a Friday night in Bozeman, and we've got a packed house with folks who want to come get involved because they don't want it to happen either. What I will say is rural communities, I think the health sector is gigantically important across the state, but rural communities really need these emergency healthcare facilities. We need to make sure that we continue to do everything we can to keep those rural hospitals open. Medicaid expansion will certainly help with that. I think we need to make sure that we start the negotiations on that process so that we don't have a sunset in 2025. And we need to do everything we can to make sure that people don't have to travel hundreds of miles to have a baby or get cancer care. We've got a big, beautiful state, but we should have plenty of access for folks to be able to get to the health care that they need.
Thank you. Mike?
You know, I've been involved in the healthcare issue for quite a long time, and probably when I first came face to face with some of the issues was when I was the executive director of Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies right here in Montana. And at that time, we had passed the CHIP program, and we had money in that program, but we didn't have anybody going out there advocating and teaching people how to get their family signed up, and that's what we ended up doing. And I saw what that program did for the people in Montana. The same thing can be said for Medicaid expansion. We need to make sure that we keep Medicaid expansion in place, we protect it. We know just in the last couple weeks that the administration in Washington, D.C. has come out and said that they wanted to perhaps change the way that Medicaid was handled. We know that that is not going to help us in Montana. We know that will cut services to people in Montana. We know that is not what Montanans need in order to continue decent health care. We know that if there is an attack on Medicaid, that it's going to hurt our rural hospitals. So those are the sorts of things that I think the administration and the governor can do, is to stand up and say, we're not going to let the federal government run over us on this. This is too important. We know our economy is dependent upon it. We know that people in Montana deserve to have access to good quality health care. We'll do everything to make sure that we're fighting for that each and every day. That's what Montanans deserve.
Thank you. All right, don't get too comfortable, Mr. Cooney. This one is sort of a follow-up on a couple that we had earlier, but it seems to be a pretty important issue in the state of Montana. Montana has limited resources to assist those in our community struggling with addiction. Our state-run treatment centers are crowded, underfunded, and often unable to offer timely bed dates. Addiction to alcohol, opioids, and methamphetamine, among other substances, impose a significant toll on our communities. What steps will you take, in addition to those that you've already mentioned, to help Montanans struggling with addiction?
Well, again, I just mentioned, and I think it's very important, most people don't think about that. 13,000 people since we have had Medicaid expansion in Montana, 13,000 Montanans have taken advantage of drug addiction services. We know they want to help themselves. We know that they will take advantage of it. We need to continue to make sure that we're protecting Medicaid expansion at every cost possible because it will have a devastating effect. We also know that 40,000 Montanans are taking full advantage of mental health service through Medicaid expansion. That is a big issue. That's another reason we have to protect it. There are the other addiction issues. I mean, we know that law enforcement is going to have to be involved in some of this. They need to have the tools to fight some of these problems with meth and so forth. We need to make sure that they have that support. This is a tough problem. We need to make sure we're keeping this stuff out of here, making sure that they're not poisoning our children and our people here. But we also need to know that it's going to happen. We need to know people are getting the services they need and they're getting the mental health treatment they need. That is what we can do to support the people in this state and help them with addiction.
Thank you. Whitney?
Yeah, we were in Billings last week and talking about this very issue. It's a gigantic problem for communities across the state. Billings is, as I'm sure Bozeman is, suffering greatly. I met with your sheriff here not too long ago in Bozeman and had a conversation about this. Meth sometimes is on the rise, and then opioids are sometimes on the rise, and then meth is on the rise again. You go to Indian country, and our friends up there will tell you that meth is at an all-time high. So it's a crisis, and we need to make sure that we take care of folks. We need to make sure we have access to life-saving drugs like Narcan, which we do and we have, and that's in part because we've worked closely with the federal government and federal agencies to make sure that we have a supply, and then we do need to take care of folks who have mental health needs. We've got a $50 million budget cut in the last 2 years, and like folks down the road in Livingston are like shutting their doors. 100 folks got put out on the streets, don't have any access to mental health services. All these things are connected, folks. We know that, it's common sense. We gotta make sure we do everything we can to support people and also keep our community safe. Without having mental health providers in these communities, we're going to have more of a problem, and we got to fix that.
Thank you. Michael.
Yes.
The Montana Constitution affords us the right to a clean and healthful environment. Gallatin County is known for its access to Montana's extraordinary rivers. Despite valuing our environment and waterways, our rivers are stressed with historic user levels, rising river temperatures, and pollution, among other pressures. What policies would you support to improve and protect the health of our beautiful Montana rivers?
Well, I mean, we have seen a number of issues. Right now, we have an issue down in the Madison River where there is great conflict down there, and they're working out ways, bringing the parties together, the people who live on the rivers, the economies along the rivers, the folks who are the outfitters, the folks who are just the day-to-day fishermen, and they're working out solutions to try to answer that, to make sure that we are treating that resource properly. It's not just the human conflict, but it's also the stress on the rivers, it's the stress on the fisheries. We need to be mindful of that because these are truly part of the treasure of our great outdoor economy and our great recreational economy. So number one, I think, again, we talked about climate change and what we need to do. I think Montana needs to be more aggressive in making sure our summers are changing, our growing seasons are changing. It's hotter. Our fire seasons are changing. We know things are changing, and it's having an impact on all of our services and our rivers and our other natural resources. We need to make sure we're managing these things in a way that is right for Montana, that will allow us to continue to use these resources. But when they're stressed and when there are problems, we need to be able to take the appropriate actions to make sure that we're not overstressing them and make sure that we're doing the right thing by those. Because, again, our goal is to make sure we turn these over to the next generation in better shape than what we were given. That's what we have to do.
Thank you. Whitney?
Yeah, so the Madison Mike just talked about, obviously there's lots of conversation with outfitters and guides and community members about what to do. We do need to protect the river, and we need to protect the way of life. I mean, we all make our memories on these rivers, and it's centrally important. I'm not an outfitter, but I am a businesswoman. And I am very used to solving tough problems and bringing folks together, including sort of unlikely allies, to make sure that we do that. And here, I think we've got to listen to local folks about the solutions. You know, my father, Pat Williams, used to say, there's a genius on every block. And it's true. I think there is. I think there's lots of good ideas out there. And I think by bringing people together and listening to community, we're going to solve this.
Thank you. Okay, we're down to, this is going to be the last question before we do our closing statements. So, Mike, what is the number one issue that you will champion as our next governor?
The number one issue, the people of Montana and what is good for them, and it includes education, health care, and it includes protecting our public lands. I mean, it is hard to say there is one major issue to champion as governor. That is not how government works. You have got to be prepared to champion a number of issues. I think we've been able to lay out tonight a number of the priorities that I will take, and those are things that we can do in the next legislative session. There are things we can continue to work on in the next administration. And so I don't know that that's a fair question, because that is not what government does. That's not how government should approach things. And I think that it's very important that the next governor be prepared to take on a number of these challenges. You know, Montana is too important to just focus and say there's only one challenge out there that we're going to focus on to begin with. You've got to challenge. You've got to take on these challenges, many at the same time. I'm prepared to do that as governor.
Thank you. Whitney?
Well, I'm glad you went first on that one, Mike, because I think it's true. It's hard to say that there's just one. So I'll quickly say, pharma, we got to hold pharma accountable. And we need a governor that's going to be tough enough and creative enough to come up with solutions to, so we don't have another 20 years since Brian took those bus trips, and make sure that we solve this problem. We've got to keep public lands in public hands. And we have got to get our littlest learners in pre-K. We all know it, we all believe it, and it's time that we get it done.
Thank you. So now I guess it's time for the stump speech, huh? Okay, so we'll let Mike, we'll have you go first. And you have 2 minutes to make a closing statement about why you should be Montana's next governor.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it. Thank you all for being here. It's been a great discussion. Whitney, thank you very much for participating as well. I want to leave you with one thing. I want to leave you with that I am a person who has been fighting for Montanans all my adult life in public service. And I have a record to prove it. You know, Montana's my home. Montana is a place where I find its values is something worth protecting. We need somebody who is going to be protecting the progress that we have made in Montana. And we need somebody who's going to be fighting to create opportunity for our future generations. You know, Montanans are good people. Montanans work hard and they don't ask for a lot. And the next governor is going to have to work just that much harder for the people of Montana. They need to work to make sure that we're continuing to strike a deal and make the best paying jobs for our people here in Montana. We need to make sure that the next governor is going to be standing up to make sure that we're driving down health care costs and we're containing pharmaceutical costs. We need a governor who's going to say, I'm going to make record investment in public education, and we're going to have a pre-K program, and we're going to keep college tuition affordable. And we need a governor who's going to say, I'm here to protect our public lands so that we can pass on the best air, the best water to the future generation. And we need a Montana governor who is going to say, these values are important, and I'm going to fight each and every day for it. You know, what we don't need is we don't need a governor coming in from out of state who's a multimillionaire who doesn't understand our values because they don't live our values. You know, Montanans have trusted me to be lieutenant governor. They've trusted me to be state senator. They've trusted me to be secretary of state and president of the Senate and other members and serve in the legislature. I know how to roll up my sleeves and go to work right off the bat as governor. I plan on doing that. Montana has great opportunity. Montana has a great opportunity in front of it. Working together with Montanans, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mike. Whitney?
Well, thank you all so much. It really is a pleasure to be here. I believe in so many ways, Montana remains what America started out to be, a place of family farms and clean rivers and those mountain horizons and Main Street businesses working to meet the promises and the profits of the American dream. But in 2020, our Montana's at a crossroads. We're up against a new set of challenges, and I think that needs a new set of solutions. Our public lands are under attack from the Trump administration that is hell-bent on taking those lands and selling them off to wealthy private developers. Too many families are forced to choose between filling a prescription and putting food on the table. And folks all across the state are struggling under the weight of sky-high property taxes, and they're worried that their kids won't be able to afford to stay here in Montana. And Republicans are not going to sleep until they overturn Roe v. Wade and take away a woman's constitutional right to make choices about her own body. And make no mistake, Greg Gianforte represents an existential threat to Montana. He represents that threat to the Montana that we know and love and are proud to call home. And if we're going to beat him, we need new ideas. We need a new generation of leadership. We need one that brings a new, fresh perspective, a new outlook, and proven experience as an executive to take him on, because you know he's going to use every trick in the book and every dollar in that bank account. I think Montana faces very different problems than we did even 4 years ago, and we need big, bold solutions to stand up to the Trump administration as they try to transfer those lands, to hold Big Pharma accountable, and to guarantee every single woman the right to choose. I'm Whitney Williams, and I'm asking for your vote because I believe I'll be that leader, and I believe I'll do you proud. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Whitney. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our debate. But before we all scatter, I want you to join me in giving a warm round of applause to these courageous candidates who've come here to tell us how they're going to lead this state forward.
Thank you.